to the Word of God this evening. Amen. Let's do this. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. It is Bible study night, so we're going to sit around the Word of God this evening. There's something I want to challenge you to do before we ever go into the Bible study today. And I don't think we've ever discussed what the Berean way is. Everybody say Berean. Berean. Amen. And so I want Landmark to begin being Berean. Amen. Paul and Silas, due to an uprising caused by the Jews. This was caused by the Jews. They were sent out of the city of Thessalonica by their brethren, traveling to Berea. Okay, Berea is an actual place in the Word of God. It was approximately 60 miles away. They entered a synagogue of the Jews. The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that the Bible said they received the Word of God readily, searching the Scripture daily in Acts chapter 17. We won't take the time, but verses 1 through 14 lets you know that they received, the Bereans received the Word of God, and they received it readily. They wanted the Word of God. And from this account in the Bible, you can one receives the Word with readiness of mind and searches the Scripture. He can become known as Berean. Amen. Now, we will continue to be Landmarkites, but we can also become Berean because we receive the Word of God readily. We want the Word of God. And so as Christians, we too should be more noble than those of Thessalonica because they rejected God's men, His message, and His word. A lot of honorable citizens of Berea, both men and women, upon searching the Scripture, believed the teachings of Paul and Silas. Sepater, a convert from Berea, even accompanied Paul into Asia on a missionary trip. That's in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, if you want to read about that. And so my desire as your pastor, my desire for this church, is that all of us become modern-day Bereans, readily receiving, not just receiving, but searching and believing the Scripture, which is God's Word. Amen. And that's what I desire for all of us. Amen. But tonight, what we want to talk about is knowing the voice of God. Now, I wanted to give you that preliminary because I'm not preaching tonight, so I'll go ahead and let you know the punchline. And that is that the only way we can understand or even begin to comprehend the voice of God is to understand and comprehend the Word of God. I've always said, and I continue to say it, there's tongues and there's prophecy, and we'll talk about that. But there also, when you read the Word of God, you're getting a word from God. There are people that won't read their Bible, but get disappointed if there's not tongues and prophecy everywhere. I've been around tongues and prophecy everywhere. I've preached in services where there was tongues and prophecy 13 times in one service. Amen. And so God can do whatever He wants to. He can do it here. He can do it there. He can do it wherever He wants to. We give Him that liberty. It's the Word of God. But we need to comprehend and understand. If we'll just pick up the Bible, we can get a word from God. And God can give us clear-cut direction and leadership and guidance. Amen. That's not that the Bible stands instead of prophecy, or that prophecy can stand instead of the Word of God. Amen. But how are you going to know the prophecy is true if we don't know the Word? Because I'm telling you, if it doesn't compare with the Word of God, it isn't true. And I don't care who gives it. And so we need to know the voice of God. And in order to know the voice of God, we've got to be able to comprehend the Word of God. So each of us, every one of us, have an ongoing learning process. And constantly we need to hone our abilities and learn to define and classify the things of God. So it's imperative, it's important and paramount that we know God's voice. Although our learning process may never be fully completed, we can become skillful. Amen. Whatever our developmental stage may be, we can become skillful in knowing the voice of Almighty God. Amen. So the new doctrines come about every day with the satellites and with all of this technology and one little guy can set up housekeeping and begin to say a word and he can be preaching in Germany or China or Japan. And so doctrines are being spit out all over the world everywhere. And Amos prophesied that there will be a famine in the land. And Amos himself was nothing more or less than a farmer. Yet he was skillful in the Word of God. And God spoke to him because he knew the voice of God. And he warned us that there would be a famine in the last days. And it would not be a famine of food or drink, but it would be a famine of the Word of God. People are making up their own thing and saying, God spoke to me. God said this. I felt so strong about it, so it had to be God. No verification from the Scripture. No foundation from the Word of God, just because they felt good about it. So I want us to talk about understanding the voice of God tonight. Amen. Obviously, because of time and space, every scriptural example or point cannot be covered here, but I want to give you some basic guidelines and help you stay the course. While including personal experience I've gained through trial, I've learned through trial, and I've learned through error. Amen. And it is always a lot easier to learn from someone else's mistakes than to have to live through the mistake yourself. And so God's Word remains the final authority in any given subject. Amen. Why do I feel like I'm teaching somebody that's not sitting in here right now? I really mean that. I hope they're cued in with in live media. Or would you do something with me right now? Amen. I've been in this game too long. I know the devil and how he works. And if he can keep you away from a solid Word of God, he'll do that. Would you help me pray that whoever that is will get connected this evening? Let's pray that right now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, I pray in the name of the Lord that before error, before trouble, trial, tribulation, before brokenness and shatteredness takes place right now, dear God, that you would lead this individual with ears open and eyes open and a spirit that is ready to understand and comprehend the Word of God and what thus saith the Word of the Lord. Amen. So we don't have time for every example, but we need to comprehend somewhat of understanding, acknowledging, and knowing the Word of God. Let's look at how the Bible says that God's sheep know His voice. That does not come automatically. That comes from study. That comes from comprehending. That's why we have newcomers class. Amen. Incidentally, that will be taking place this Sunday at 5:30, I think it is. Amen. So that's why we have newcomers class. You say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, good. Now you need the Word. And I know the Word is God, and God is the Word, and that became flesh. I understand all of that, and we can carve all that to make it fit any way we want to. But you and I both know we need the literal Word of God to be able to comprehend His will. And so His sheep, you can become a sheep of God right now But to know His voice is going to take some time. And so we need to apply ourselves, give ourselves, and absorb the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Being close to God is essential to hearing and knowing His voice. Now there's a danger. Everybody shout danger. Amen. Like the kids, stranger danger. Kids are not supposed to let a stranger pick them up just because they got a pretty puppy or because they drive a van that's got balloons all over it and they have toys and candy. We teach our kids not to go with that and to understand that stranger danger. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you're a newcomer in this church, someone that's going to give you a philosophy that doesn't match the Word of God is stranger danger. And when we start making up our own philosophies to make things fit our own little world, that also becomes stranger danger, because that's strange to God when it's not the Word of God. And so there's a danger in that. And lukewarmness, carnality, worldliness develop a distance between us and God until we cannot hear Him when He speaks, because we block out His will with our will. And so since there is a human will and there is definitely a divine will, these are two wills, conquering our will is a must before we can be submissive to God's will. It's a good thing to be godly at church, but it's also a good thing to match that godliness at home. It's a good thing to have a right spirit here at the house of God. Loving everybody, nurturing everybody, caring for everybody. But it is a wonderful thing to take that home with you as well. For if we want to walk in God's will here, we cannot continue to walk in our will out there. Does that make sense? Because we want to know the voice of God. Am I correct? Amen. And so God need not speak to us directly concerning anything already written in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Why should there be five people speaking in tongues? Three interpreters saying, "Thus saith the Lord, thou must be repent of your sins. Thou must be baptized in Jesus' name." It's in the Word of God. He's already spoken. Hello? Amen. I'm not trying to be carnal, and I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just teaching you how to know the voice of God. You don't have to hear bells ring, and you don't have to hear thunder, and lightning doesn't have to strike you between the eyes. When you're reading the Word of God, that's exactly what it is. It is the Word of God. Amen. And so be careful on how we shape it. Be careful on how we carve it and make it fit. Amen. Because the carnal mind can get into all of that and we can miss the will of God. And I want to tell you why the enemy wants you to miss the voice of God. It's because so if he can jam up your future, if he can scramble up your mind and get you off the fence and off the rail with the church and all that jazz, then he can get you all confused and bumfundled about the people that you're supposed to lead. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to say it's the will of God that Carson is sick tonight and he can't be here to lead his young people. I may even go as far as to say it's the devil's business to make sure that people are sick and can't be in the house of God. But that's okay. They're going to win that battle. They'll be back and continue to lead the young people. But what we've got to comprehend tonight is that whatever you're doing for God, whatever God has labeled you to do for His kingdom, you need to understand the devil looks at that like a trophy and he wants to hang your head on the wall so that, amen, so that, Brother Brown, so that these Sunday school kids, that not one of them can become a prophet, not one of them can become an evangelist, and not one of them can have a church like this, amen, if the devil can hang your head on the wall. And so we understand that. So what do? We keep our nose in the Word of God and be obedient to the Word, even though it hurts the flesh and it damages my will. I'm sorry to get into a preaching mode here tonight, but we've got to comprehend what God is up to. Amen. There's 1,000 other things that we could be doing. There's 1,000 other directions that we can go. Amen. And we can't let what we like lead us into a world that is without the voice of God just because we like it. Hello? And so being close to God is essential. And the only way to be close to Him is to know His voice. And the only way to know His voice is to know the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. So he doesn't have to speak directly to us in the ear about what is already in the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak that to you. Amen. It is perfectly fine for you to say to me, Pastor, I got a word from God last night. And I'm going to say, oh yeah, what was it? And you say, Ephesians 4 and 5. Oh yeah, I don't have all the Bible memorized, so give it to me. And you give that word to me. I receive it as a word from God because that's exactly what it was. Amen. We're not belittled because we just heard it directly from God and there's no scripture for it. Listen, we need to understand that we are absolutely nothing and He is everything. Right? And so, you know, if it's in the Word, He's not obligated to speak to us audibly. Things already contained in our responsibility is to study and obey God's Word, accepting everything written in His will and in His voice. From the scripture, praise God. David said, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. David understood that it was the word, which is the voice of God, that was going to keep him in and protect him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so there are methods through which God can speak. Amen. Let me give you a few methods. There's many methods through which God can speak. Amen. He can speak to us in metaphors, and He can speak to us in physical points and things, you know. Can I be real plain right now and just simply say there are people here tonight that might be going through hell on earth. And then in the morning when you wake up and step outside, God gives you a Carolina blue sky, and all of a sudden it just washes over you that although you may be going through something like you've never been through in your life, but look how clear God has made the day, and that's exactly what God's going to do for you. And God just spoke. How did He speak? Because the Word of God says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the desires of your heart. You step out and say, I want a clear day in my mind. I want a clear blue sky in my heart. I want a clear blue sky in my spirit. You can say that all day long and pray that all day long because that's exactly what God wants to give you. We've got scripture for it. So He can speak to us in many, many ways. They just have to align with the Word of God. And those are the things that we need to see. Instead of this gloom and doom, I get a little upset when I hear that coming from the mouths of people of God, because God has filled you with the same Spirit He created the universe with. And you're talking gloom and doom like it's going to take over your life and conquer you and beat you and devour you and nothing's ever going to be the same. I don't know what to do. Listen to me. You've got the Holy Ghost. Stop. And start declaring some things. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. The whole house may not be doing it right now, but we're going to, and we're going to believe it till the day we die, until we breathe our last breath. Some prayers aren't even answered until the people that pray them after they're dead. But what we do is we believe God. That is going to take place. A woman prayed for her two sons, and they prayed through in an old farmhouse that they were tearing down because mom's dead, dad's dead. They went to tear it down and sell the land, and the Spirit of God got a hold of them in front of the fireplace where they would pray through and where they prayed when they were kids, spoke in tongues when they were kids, and they couldn't walk away from it. And both of them prayed through together right there in that house by themselves, and mom's long gone. Don't do that gloom and doom and negative and pessimistic business. Amen. Now, if you make that bed, that's the bed you're going to have to sleep in until you begin to make that bed with something else. So there are methods that God can speak to us. Chiefly, His Word. Your Bible is the most reliable source that you have to depend upon as being God's voice. Without error, without contradiction, without fallibility, you can trust God's Word as the final authority on any and all matters. Amen. Now, let's talk about, for just 20 seconds, the mirror to compare. Amen. What you hear and what you see should coincide when you look into the Word of God. Well, I don't believe. Well, you should believe that, because the Bible says, was it James that said it's like looking into a glass and beholding our own face. So what we say, what we look like and act like, and if you don't mind me saying, what we be like, is exactly what comes from the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to be like. Am I right? If I'm not right about that, then where do we go? What do we do? Do we wind up in a Presbyterian church somewhere? Do we wind up in a Catholic synagogue somewhere? Because it felt good and these people are nice. Hello? Or do we take a strong stand, believe the Word of God, and let God orchestrate all of this stuff? And I just begin to have a little patience with God and let Him orchestrate and work every good thing out. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, pastors and other ministers, these are other ways that God can speak to us. The voice of God can speak to us. There's many ways. Let me just simply say this about the Word of God before I move on, and that is that we obey the Word of God regardless of the cost. We obey the Word of God regardless of the lost. Amen. Remember the fate of Adam and Eve for disobeying God's Word. And then there's men of God, women of God, whom you have confidence in that can help you know God's voice, or God may speak directly to you through them. Pastors and other ministers are essential to our spiritual welfare and balance when it comes to knowing God's voice. Remember, Eli helped Samuel. Samuel became one of the greatest men of God in the Word of God, but Eli had to help him along with the voice of God. When he was confused over the voice of God, Eli gave him assistance. Amen. And so, haste and overzealousness should be guarded against when acting upon what we feel is a directive from God. If you feel that it is from God and that God has spoken, don't be in such a hurry. He could have felt that 2,000 years ago for you and finally gave it to you. Amen. And so, regardless of the length of time, it will unfold. It will come to pass if it truly was the voice of God. And so, haste and zealousness should be guarded against when acting upon what we feel is the voice of God. Calls from God do not die. The gift of God is without repentance. So calls from God do not die. While excitement dies, fervor dies, zeal, it has a way of cooling with time. Amen. We don't have time to make a buku of mistakes. Not when we've got the Word of God right in front of our face to lead us and guide us. We've got ourselves to condition, because we've got a lot of folks that are under our care that we need to help condition. And if the enemy can get a trophy out of you, then He didn't only destroy you, but he destroyed many others that would have done great exploits for the kingdom of God. What would be greater? For you to accomplish what you think you want, what you feel you want, and run with that, or to get to the end of the journey and have 150, 200 people, maybe 300, maybe even 1,000 come to you and say, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be pastoring my church. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be teaching Sunday school right now. If it wasn't for you, amen. If it wasn't for those little trips, Brother Brown, if it wasn't for SOC, if it wasn't for junior camp, if it wasn't for senior camp, if it wasn't for Axe Troopers, because I had you when I didn't have anyone else. I had this involvement when I didn't have anything else. Don't you think for one moment that the enemy's going to take that laying down? And don't think for one moment that he won't place something in the path to obscure and to grab your attention and get you away from that. Because although he cannot destroy the church, I hate to even say it, but we're in Bible study tonight. Though he cannot destroy it, he can certainly slow it down. Do you think it's the will of God for us to be the only ones that's been here for 26 years and have a record attendance of over 1,000? Don't you think it's the will of God for the Huttons in Asheboro? Don't you think it's the will of God for the Delaneys in Mount Airy, the Drakes? Hello? Don't you think it's the will of God for all these people? Amen. Amen. Something's got to transpire, and something's got to hit like a ball of fire, and it's got to hit the congregation and people in that congregation that says, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. It don't matter what everybody else is going to do. And when you do that and God knows it, you're going to begin to hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, he's going to give you clear-cut direction, and you are going to be able to give it to the nation. The problem is that we can't see ourselves doing that stuff. And we don't think of ourselves as that way, but we are that way, or God would never have chosen us. You're not here by accident, and you are not a failure. It's just the choices that you make that make us failures. Praise God. And so the man of God, the woman of God can speak to us. Of course, the Word of God speaks to us. And then the gifts of the Spirit speak to us. Prophecy, tongues, accompanied by an interpretation, is God speaking to us. Both scriptural methods are to be judged by the listeners, which doesn't mean they should criticize or ignore what is being said, but rather judge its accuracy in adherence to Scripture. I'll give you an example. Before the Huttons went to Asheboro, I was evangelizing, and when I found out the church was available for a pastor, we just went there to feel it out. We preached, and standing out on the front porch, a young lady told me, she said, I went to the Assembly of God camp meeting. That's a Trinity pseudo-Pentecostal movement, and that's what it was. And so she went, and at the altar, tongues went out, and then prophecy. And the prophecy was this: yea, thus saith the Lord, I have done all I can do. Thou must now call on the Father. Really? I mean, you help me. Does that coexist with the Word of God? So we have to be careful and understand, amen, that according to the Word, all power, that means all authority, that means all ability, is given to the Son. That's what the Word of God says. So did he just now compromise the Word with this prophecy? I'm changing the whole Bible right here through this little girl. So we have to be careful with those things and understand that they must be in comparison and compatible with the Word of God. But the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, and they do work, and they will work. Amen. Then there's dreams, there's visions. Both of these occur in the lives of most people without having any scriptural or spiritual meaning. Dreams and visions and things of this nature. Amen. Be careful. Amen. Your vision may have came from Taco Bell. Should have gotten one instead of three. Amen. But when relying on a dream or a vision as a directive from God, it's essential for you to be absolutely sure God is speaking. God spoke to many in His Word through this method. And He spoke to Solomon this way. He spoke to Joseph, Pilate's wife. He gave a dream to, and Peter and Paul and different ones in the Word of God. He spoke to by dreams, and He spoke to by vision. Amen. And so God's Spirit guides. His Spirit guides. Grace teaches. His grace will teach us. Amen. We make mistakes as young Christians, or we make mistakes as old Christians. Amen. But we need, when we go for grace and forgiveness and mercy, we need to let that teach us so that we can teach others. Amen. And God often speaks in a still small voice. Consequently, we've got to have an ear that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. All this goes on within the heart, the mind, and it's an impression. It's a method used often and extensively by our Lord to speak to us. Amen. In directing a service, making financial decisions, receiving a call to service, making minor or major decisions relating to life or church, etc., whatever it is, in any or all of these, God could speak to you by impressions. It is better known as a still small voice, one we have learned to detect by impression. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And then the voice of a stranger. People who know God's voice will not follow a stranger because their voice is different from the one that they're accustomed to following. And you can find that in John chapter 10, verse number 5, I believe it is. John 10 and 5. The word stranger here comes from a Greek word meaning foreign, different, alien, hostile. Paul warns us of the many voices that are in the world. We've got to have a clear note and a certain sound before we act. Our day abounds with strange voices and doctrines. We know that. With deceivers of every sort and type existing in our time. Most are not necessarily cults or weird teachings. Nevertheless, they're different. They're different from biblical truths. Some of them are laced with a lot of biblical truth, but the tons of biblical truth that are left out of their lacing is what's bad. Amen. Printing presses and media methods pour forth a constant stream of strange doctrines. The voice of strangers is never silent as Satan seeks to lead God's sheep completely astray. So how do you discern God's voice? Amen. Compare what you're hearing, whether it be from man or inward impression. Be careful about inward impression and make sure it compares with the Word of God, with what you have been taught. Never abandon principles or morality, honesty or integrity instilled in you by the church, the Word of God, or your pastor. Contemporary peers of each generation pressure God's people to forsake biblical guidelines, scorning them as foolish and out of date. Turn a deaf ear to such enticements. Your mind and body can tell you a lot of wrong things and pawn them off as being godly. Compare what you're hearing with past experiences. And this is very important because this will work. Samson knew that jawbone worked one time against his enemy, didn't he? That's why he went back and used it again. But sometimes we go through experiences that didn't work so good. So that should tell us not to ever go back again. Compare what you're hearing with past experience. Recall from the past what was of God and what was of the flesh, and then act accordingly. Time and experience are great teachers. Utilize that for your spiritual welfare and warfare and well-being. Quit making the same mistakes over and over and become wise to Satan's wiles and his devices. And then compare what you're hearing with someone else's experience. Use godly, successful men and women and even young people as sounding boards to determine if you're on course or not. Independence, self-centeredness are a sure route to following the wrong voice. Breaking away. I like what Brother Johnny Godare said, and he said it all of the time. It's humorous, but it's true. He said, it's the banana that leaves the bunch that gets peeled. Is that not true? Amen. Take advantage of the knowledge and the expertise of those who've walked that path and the one that you're on now. And Paul did this in the ministry. Samuel had Eli's guidance in discerning God's voice in his hour of youth. You and I need the wisdom of others. Compare what you are hearing with God's word. Any message or impression you hear contradictory to the word of God should be rejected immediately. Anything coming from God will harmonize with the Bible and the spirit of the word and the spirit of the church and the spirit of the ministry. I'm winding up. Are we doing okay? Amen. So, what to do when you mistake God's voice? Webster says that a mistake is to perceive or understand erroneously, to interpret or estimate incorrectly. Willful disobedience, disregard, or rebelling against what we know as God's voice is not included here. Balaam was guilty of this type of behavior along with King Saul, Korah, countless others that were destroyed in the Word of God. People that were so rebellious and against God himself until they were utterly destroyed and were an example for us in the New Testament to understand that we can suffer the same fate. Amen. You only need one word of advice. Repent. And get back on track with God and resolve the problem. Although it's not a result of making God, mistaking God's voice, when you encounter severe trials, when you encounter reversals, financial loss, poverty while doing the will of God, Satan will try to defeat you by making you think you've missed God's will. Don't let Satan make you think that we govern God's will by how much money we've got, by how good we drive, what kind of car, vehicle we have, what kind of house we live in, what our home life is, amen, what our family life is, what anything is. That doesn't govern. That doesn't govern whether or not we're in the will of God. Obeying God's voice doesn't always bring prosperity. It will not always bring progress. And it will not always bring popularity. I know this is the word of God. This is without the sweet smell of incense going up. This is the blood pouring out of the altar of sacrifice. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you become an adult, bona fide child of God. And you put away childish things. Amen. If you're in God's will and you obey his voice, we need to learn to accept circumstances and stay true to God in spite of them and until they change. Because I'll promise you this, I'll give you another word from God. Hear his voice, if you will. This too shall pass. Let's stand. Amen. Praise God. We cannot change God's ways. God's ways are above our ways. Prayer will make you a deeper child of God. Fasting will make you a deeper, more of a child of God that God can trust. Being spiritually minded and and giving over to the Word of God and saying, I'm going to let that direct my life no matter what, no matter who, no matter who comes in, who goes out of my life, who comes up, who goes, whatever. I'm going to let the Word of God direct my life. That's how God changes me spiritually. But guess who it is up to change physically and mentally? You can fast and pray all you want to, but God's not going to take attitude until you give it to Him. He's not going to take the spirit of jealousy. He's not going to take the spirit of hate, envy, strife, inferiority complex, pride, boastfulness. And one of the toughest ones, He's not going to take that know-it-all thing until we give it to Him. We just got to give it to Him and surrender it to Him. And then that spiritual part will bleed into that and begin to direct us in our physical lives. And so we want to know the voice of God. Amen. And so to do that, you've got to tell God that I want the Word of God to direct my life. And that, Lord, I'm not going to shape it the way I want it to be, but I'm going to take it just like it is, book by book by book, word for word for word. And when I'm going through something, when I'm feeling something, and people to come to me that love me and share words with me, even though they're words I don't want to hear, Lord, I receive it, I believe it, and I act upon it because I know it's in my best interest. Because when people have already been through it and they're telling me how to get through it, I need to listen to it. That's the voice of God. Because when a person experiences something and they get through it and they're still living for God, then somewhere within that dilemma, God spoke to them and carried them through. Be good to hear about that and to act upon that. The main thing to understand is that we are not islands. We're not individuals that are in this for ourselves and by ourselves. We're in this together. We'll always be in this together. And so I'm just simply saying together, let's let the voice of God come from the Word of God, the man of God. People of God that experience things that you're going through. People that you know have a prayer life. People that you know have a walk with God. Amen. Don't resent them. Don't get upset at them and argue and fuss with that. Not when they're loving on you more so than anybody else that you can imagine. But let's comprehend and understand, amen, and compare what we're going through with the Word of God and then get it matched up so we can hear the voice of God. That being said, why don't we just close our eyes and lift our hands and ask the Lord to let us receive the part that we needed tonight. Let us just receive the parts that we needed tonight that God has spoken and that God has shared with us this evening. Holy Ghost, whatever part it might have been, whatever area it might have been, wherever it came from the Word of God, I'm asking you, Lord, to let it penetrate the mind. Let it penetrate the soul. Let it penetrate the spirit, the brain, the heart. Let it penetrate God and let it take reference and let it take hold and let it take root and raise us up to be what we've got to be for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God and for the will of God. Lord Jesus, I rebuke any devil that would slow us down. I rebuke any devil that would come against our leadership, any enemy that would come against our people, anything that would come against to hinder us and stop us and slow us down. God, I pray in the name of the Lord that you let us go in the rapture from a church running over 1,000 people that love the Word of God, that are apostolic, that will serve you with gladness and will not let anything come into their lives that will detour them. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Beautiful, beautiful spirit in the house. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake somebody's hand and say, I'm so glad you're Berean.